now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us this evening. An excellent panel this evening. We have two lions with us. We have one lion, which is that rare breed, which is a lion who was on a winning test series. We have the 1983 Dorking Under 16 tennis champion. That's me. I'm not a lion. And we have the Sunday Times rugby correspondent who has covered every Lions match on every Lions tour since 1972, something like that. 1983. Please can you welcome Steve Jones here at the Sunday Times, Stuart Barnes of 1993 Lions fame and covered every tour since then, and Lawrence Allaglio, part of the winning 97 tour. Right, we've been nattering along, and we can do Q&A now. And there's some beer here as well. There are some microphones going around.
Do you think there's any weakness to the All Blacks game at all?
This is embarrassing silence up here. I'll start off. The man that they think is the superstar, the new Dan Carter, or the better than Dan, as some of the New Zealand media have said, is Beauden Barrett, who is an outstanding attacking force. If anyone watched his team, the Hurricanes, play against the Crusaders a week and a half ago, the Crusaders, they smashed the Hurricanes up front, and Beauden Barrett was a number 10 playing an I'm going backwards game, and he hated it. So I think that would be the way forward. Maybe that's just obvious, but you have to make Beauden Barrett go backwards, and he doesn't like it.
Of course, there are weaknesses. No, every team's got weaknesses, including the All Blacks. No question.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt that the rules of the modern game, whatever you call them, laws. But you hold on if you allow you to hold on to the ball for long periods of time, particularly at set piece and the phase play in attack, and the best way to nullify a team that's as skillful as the All Blacks is to hold on to the ball for periods of time. And if the Lions are prepared to do that and not turn the ball over, because we all talk about how wonderful the All Blacks are, and of course they are great, but a lot of their best rugby comes from turnovers because they've got that devastating speed of thought and speed of foot to capitalise on that. So if the Lions can hold on to the ball for long periods of time, then I think that they can starve New Zealand of possession. And the flip side of that is that undoubtedly there will be times where New Zealand have massive purple patches during the games, and you have to defend like your life depends on it, and every single man has to do that. The only way we won in New Zealand was by going through huge numbers of plays by just defending like your life depends on it, and we haven't seen that kind of level of defence from any of the Lions yet, but we will do.
It would be remiss of me to say, having praised New Zealand to the hilt, they have absolutely nobody to kick goals, which can be quite important. They're shit kickers.
Okay, over here,
literally.
If it's close enough for that, yeah.
All right, we've talked a lot about the players, and we saw when Eddie Jones took over England a massive transformation in the performance of the England team. Do we think that Warren Gatland's got the tactical nous to win in New Zealand?
Lawrence, you're a Warren man.
Well, first of all, I think he's the right appointment because, you know, because of the reasons that we've discussed already, it's such a tough assignment. And, you know, he has been part of a... he's been a coach for on two Lions series. He has won a Lions tour. He's also played against the Lions. And I think people have to understand how much that counts for. Warren Gatland divides opinion, particularly if you're Welsh, because obviously you think, well, the power Warren Ball game is kind of finished, really. But, you know, he's coached the England Wasps. He's coached the Irish national team. He's coached the Welsh national team, and there's only three Scots on tour anyway. So, so he does understand how, you know, the mindset of each of those nations and how to bring those people together. And as you say, he played for Waikato against the Lions, so he knows exactly what's coming down the line in those midweek games.
No, not much that day. While I was playing, we were hopeless.
36, whatever it was.
Yeah, nothing came down the lines from the Lions.
it was a lot. So, you know, I think he does understand tactically how to play the game. Whether he's got the personnel to tactically play the game the way he wants, he's got to find a way of winning, isn't he, against the All Blacks? And to your point, you know, where are their weaknesses? Well, you know, we've got to try and beat them up front. I know that sounds very simple and very sort of caveman-like, but we do have to try and beat them up front. And you know, I'd like to think that he's picked a set of forwards that can make it a real battle.
I think on the Warren front, a lot of people would say, and I sort of maybe would agree, that Joe Schmidt is tactically the ultimate mastermind in European rugby at the moment, and he planned that amazing victory in Chicago, etc. But I wouldn't say that he would be the man to bring a Lions squad together that he's never had never done before, never been part of a Lions group before. He doesn't know how it works, and he likes to micromanage and be in charge of absolutely everything. And I just don't think you can that doesn't work on a Lions tour. You're just running. You've got to put it together so quickly. You haven't got time to put together a tactical masterpiece that you've been planning for 6 months like it did in Chicago.
I think Warren is vastly underrated as a man, as a coach and as a Lion, and I think he's completely the right man. You can't do the Joe Schmidt thing because Joe Schmidt needs 6 months to get the team right. Warren's got 2 days, so I know he's divided opinion, as Lawrence says, but he's absolutely the right man at the right time.
Schmidt would have been the wrong man in the way that Clive Woodward was the wrong man. Clive took a long time to build a very great England team, the greatest England team, greatest Northern Hemisphere team we've ever seen, but it took Clive an awful long time to do that. Different project. Paul O'Connell said to me, he said, the great thing about Getty is you can do 10 minutes training with him and everybody understands, they're on the wavelength and they know exactly what they've got to do. And I said to Paul, but doesn't that also mean the opposition can look at you and after 10 minutes they think, I know exactly what they're doing? And there is an element of that, but that goes back to what Lawrence says. You have to be straightforward, you have to be simple, you have to know what you're doing and you have to rely then on power.
He's got a week with the players. We've got a week, and then they've got to get on the wavelength and have a game plan to go out there and play. And you know, you have to keep it very, very simple. And the other side of it is on the social side, which you know, Agati understands how to do that too really well. I can tell you that as well, and we mustn't forget that because you know, part of being a Lion is about having fun, and you know. And you take that out on the field because you can't take that much training with you, so you need to bond with your mates, don't you?
Thank you. You guys have just sat there and said there's... you touched on the psychological side. That the Lions have to believe that they can win. And then you've sat and virtually all of you have said you think they'll lose 3-0. Will you be writing stuff like that in the papers where they read it?
Bloody right.
Or will you actually be saying they can win and helping to give them self-belief?
No. Our job is not to help give them self-belief. Our job is to try and write as accurately and interestingly as we can, I think, isn't it? We're not.
Do you not accept you have an influence?
No. Listen, if we got an influence on the Lions have got absolutely no chance. I'm sorry. that's like saying when we give a coach a load of stick and saying he's terrible and he should go, and he gets sacked, and they say, well, it's your fault, you got him sacked. It's not. It's you lost 15 of your last 16 internationals. It really isn't anything to do with us. Our job, we're not part of the Lions, not part of an entourage. Some national rugby presses are. They feel that's their job. I certainly know I could speak for Steve next to me. It's certainly not ours at all. It doesn't matter what we think.
I didn't look for the Times, the Sunday Times, for my self-belief, trust me. Too. I left Stuart Barnes to my mum, to be fair. she was a far better critic than I was.
I'm looking forward to the best combination of 9 and 10. The Welsh scrum half and the English Farrell. I think that's going to be the most exciting thing that the All Blacks, both of them are hated players, both of them are individualists, and both of them can cause problems for the All Blacks.
I sort of think you said it there with individualists. I love Reece Webb. I love watching him play. But as someone put it once, Reece Webb plays for himself and Conor Murray plays for the team. So I would have Murray over him any day. I think he's an infinitely better organiser of a team. And he's the best kicker of all the nines going there as well. So I love the spark that Reece Webb brings, and he maybe will turn a test or a game at some stage coming off the bench. Anyone?
So he can turn the test, but you don't want him in the team?
Yeah, bring him on at the end.
What's that phrase you used? That one place for the team and one for... That's meaningless twaddle. Isn't it? Is it with respect?
No. I think that was with disrespect.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry, Owen. I didn't mean to put it like that. I think it's a great question, and I think those two would be a great halfback combination.
I think they'd be a great halfback combination for about 25 minutes at the end. I'm going to go with Owen here for the simple reason.
That's meaningless. Sorry, that's meaningful brilliance.
This is meaningful brilliance. Thank you, Owen. You're perceptive. Reece Webb has got great pace. He's got a quicker eye for a gap than Conor Murray. And when you play this test series, the gaps are going to come later when there's a little bit more tiredness and defences are a bit more ragged. Conor Murray's job has got to do is to put the Lions in a position to win games with an hour to go. Sorry, with an hour gone. They've got to box kick well. He's got to marshal his forwards. We're thinking that's the way. The Lions can't play wide. Reece Webb is an individualist who makes things happen that will break fields up. The Lions don't want to break a field up. I think the Lions want to actually keep the field intact. They want to squeeze it. The narrower a pitch, the less the individuals can come into their own. They've got less room. The wider a pitch, the more you bring Sarvia and Israel Dagg and Ben Smith and Nea Scudder into play. So you pick a scrum half to tighten it, and then when the game is there to be won, you then exploded to life. And I think it has to be a Murray.
Going back to our point around how many people have actually beaten the All Blacks, I don't know if any of you watched that game in Chicago, but Conor Murray was magnificent. And therefore, you know, just in terms of the fact, let's have at least one that's beaten the All Blacks, you know what I mean? And actually leading the team and just getting that self. He was magnificent. And probably will be playing against Aaron Smith. I don't know.
Yeah, likely.
I think likely against Aaron Smith. And I think that, you know, For the Lions to win, you need to outdo your opposite number. And that's not going to happen in every position, but it needs to happen at 9 and 10. And Conor Murray could conceivably do that.
Okay. This lady here.
First of all, Lawrence, huge fan. And for everyone else as well. why is that so funny?
I've got as red as a Lion shirt, I think.
So you talked about the intimidation tactics of the New Zealand Blacks, and all of you talked about these urinals that they have where, you know, whatever happens, and where they like to win on the field and off the field. I used to live in Hong Kong, and one of my memories of being in Hong Kong was the All Blacks came out, they did this big intimidation dance. Why do you guys allow that? Should you guys be doing your own dance? And then if you're allowing the Blacks to do this dance, just as an on-court rule, should you have like a scripted reaction to it?
So what? Of all the functions I've done in decades and decades, I mean it, that is easily the finest question I've ever been asked. It's absolutely brilliant. The All Blacks portray the haka as some incredible devotion to the indigenous population, i.e. the Maoris, of New Zealand. It, bollocks. It's done to intimidate the opposition. It is nothing, not a shred of indigenous Maori in it whatsoever. It's done to intimidate the opposition. They insist on doing it in a certain way. If you react to it in a certain way, it's wrong. If you react to it in a different way, that's also wrong. If you run away from it, it's wrong. If you stare them down, it's wrong. And I'll give you one example. A few years ago, they always want to do the Haka last before the kickoff. They went to Cardiff, and the Welsh Rugby Union, as they're perfectly right, entitled to do, said, right, you do the Haka, fine. After that, we'll have the Welsh National Anthem, which is a home game for Wales, and the anthem means as much to any Welsh person as any Haka ever meant to a Kiwi. And they refused to do it, and they did it like spoiled kids in their dressing room. Great question.
The man standing at the back there.
Thanks very much. Lawrence, I love your shirt too. It's very nice. I haven't met you before, by the way. More on a structural thing, it seems when you get great competitive sporting occasions, we had Anthony Joshua against Klitschko, you get the Ryder Cup, and yet we seem to be speaking about the fact we're on a back foot from the moment we leave the country. And there's only 3 weeks to go before their first tour match, whether it's a provincial match. They're ready for us. And I just cannot understand why we are so unprepared.
Well, there's a week and a half to go before the first tour match.
Exactly. Right, yeah. That's my point, is when we get the greatest occasion in rugby history, us against the New Zealanders, the Australians, the South Africans, we get the Lions, we bring them all together, and yet we get so little time. Lawrence, I think you were saying about the first time you meet your fellow Lions in the dressing room, you're going out for a provincial game or a warm-up game, and it's the first time you get to meet them actually play together. There's not enough time to make this a great sporting occasion. There's too much with the Southern Hemisphere sides, to me, that gives them an advantage.
Yeah,
they come over
well
in
that,
the
I mean,
autumn.
I don't think we're disagreeing with you. Everything is set up to fail. I mean, that's the whole unique nature of the Lions tour. You know, you're playing on the other side of the world against one of the three best sides in the world, in this case, the best side of the world by some considerable distance, and you've only got a week together. I mean, it's like the old amateur tour. Let's turn up on Thursday, play Saturday.
Right.
I mean, it really genuinely is. And so that's why the odds are stacked massively against you, and why we're not meaning to sound negative up on stage, but we're just trying to lay the facts in front of you.
I don't think you'd find anyone who would disagree with you that this is a preposterous, ludicrous setup that they've been dealt.
And it's the last time probably that it will exist like this, because the old agreement will be torn up. And I mean, I daren't even go into the financial arrangements of the tour itself, because
I just view it as an amazingly emotional, fantastic sporting occasion, which is ruined by poor planning.
Yeah.
And that's just ridiculous.
But if you think about it, the popularity of the last Lions tour to Australia saved the Australian Rugby Union.
Mm. Yeah.
They made so much money from that tour that Australian rugby is still going now. I mean, you know, I don't think it's dramatic enough to say that. You know, it is commercially just one of the biggest things in the sport has. It's not like the Ryder Cup where, you know, that's even, because no side comes together. They all come together at the same time. This is completely one-sided. And until a few years ago, we used to have their referees as well. So they've actually evened it up a tiny bit.
Well, Warren Gatland, at the end of every tour where he's been on, be it assistant coach or coach, everyone does a tour report. Warren told me that this time he's not even going to bother to do a tour report, because he always says, give us 4 weeks to prepare. This time he said, I'm not even going to do it. I'm not going to write a word. And look, it's just appalling. The Kiwis, the New Zealand economy on the last tour, in official figures, made 99 million. And yet the New Zealand rugby authorities would not put this tour back 1 week.
Yeah.
They were asked, they would not put it back 1 week.
Anyway, just say.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts. Calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
England went to Australia, won 3-0, and that was a team that was pretty well underprepared as well, so we can do it.
Do you agree with Sam Warburton being chosen as captain?
Do we agree with Sam? Well, yes. There's no doubt he's got experience. New Zealand is not a place to to go without too much experience, you know, because the role of the captain is huge, isn't it? And it's a difficult role. It's not just about on the field either. Off the field, there's an enormous amount of responsibility. He's the second player in Lions history in the modern era to captain the tour twice, and, you know, without doubt, he's just going to need a lot of help from a lot of people.
Did you ask the question because you think he should or shouldn't be?
Just wanted your opinion.
Fair enough. I think he's one of the most underrated players and underrated blokes. He's an absolutely wonderful guy. And just because you're not loud and sort of bawdy and acquisitive as captain doesn't mean you're not a great captain. I think there are different sorts of captain. But I think Sam Warburton is absolutely the right man.
Yeah.
I think there's an issue. I told you earlier I was morose. I've got the Eeyore in me tonight, you know. My problem is with...
Oh, that's not going to your problems. It'll be your old mate.
Yeah, that's true. When he was announced, I said, Lions will lose if Sam Warburton's captain. So I've sort of laid my marker out, but... With Billy Vunipola out there, it makes it even more important that they've got carrying power as well. I felt in 2013 against Australia, Warburton got man of the match in the second test, but the Lions lost. He got man of the match because he made so many tackles and he was brilliant at the breakdown on the back foot. My point of view is, unless the Lions have a pack that go forward, they cannot win, because playing on the back foot against New Zealand, they're too good, they will absolutely destroy you. Men of the match shouldn't be the blokes who make the most tackles, unless it's my theory of heroes, because the more tackles you make, true Lawrence, the more likely you are to lose. And if you're playing New Zealand, it's almost certain you'll lose. So I would like a stronger ball carrying sort of Sean O'Brien type. But I agree with Steve, he's a top bloke.
Coming back to Launchbury comments from earlier on, but also tying into the captaincy question, do you think Alan Wynne-Jones is picked to be the midweek captain?
No, I think he'll be in the test team. I think he's a very fine player. I think he could have been the captain himself, but I think he's not the right person to be a captain in New Zealand, because I think he'll put the backs of the New Zealanders up. I think there's a certain diplomacy that Sam Warburton will carry out perfectly and Alan Wynne wouldn't.
I think what you want from all your players is every game you get picked for the Lions, you go out and you lay a marker down for the rest of the people in your position. And you put out your best performance in that game, and then they go out and they better your performance with theirs, you know. And then you got the third game and you go out and raise the bar even higher, you know, a bit like Richard Hill and Neil Back were doing against each other. What you need is an adversary that is just going to push you and push you and push you and get more out of you. And if Alan Wynne-Jones does that, I think George Cruz and Itoje and Henderson and all these guys will push the bar even further. And that's what you want, because when you arrive at the New Zealand level for the test team, you just pick the best two. And don't care what country they're from, you just pick the best two.
Totally agree. I think Alan didn't have his greatest season, and I think that he's now got it all to do, because he's a great player, but there's a number, as Lon says, there's a number of great players chasing.
Question here.
Thanks, Lawrence. I told you, it's just crept into the conversation. What sort of tour is he going to have?
Well, he hasn't put a foot wrong until last week. I don't think he's lost that many games till last week, actually. I think he's a magnificent player. He's in his best position is in the second row. And if he goes out and plays to the level of his ability and keeps raising the bar, you know, it's going to be a fantastic... whoever gets picked in the test team is going to be fantastic. So... that's all I can say. You know.
Would anyone on this panel want to see Marrow at six? Because I certainly wouldn't.
Well, I'd like to. I'm so excited about watching him in New Zealand, because it's a test, not just as a rugby player, but as a man as well. He'll get tested on the field like he's not been tested before. And I think he's got all the tools to answer all those questions. I mean, you can't get a good thump anymore on the field. So, because if you could, he would get one, I'm sure. But, you know, he will get examined thoroughly on, you know, let's hope that our tight five are better than their tight five. And I think for us to win the series, you know, him and his mates need to go so, so well. And I really believe they can as well.
I think Warren's told me that he doesn't see him as a six. But let's not be sort of this British thing about looking for holes in people. He's a magnificent bloody player. He really is. He could still be there in 10 years' time. And really, he, as Lawrence says, every hurdle he's been presented with, he's leapt over it. He really is a freak of nature. And I'd love to think that he imposes himself on the Kiwis.
He almost does what the Kiwis do. He whoops and hollers whenever he wins a penalty, which is a sort of Kiwi trait, really.
So annoying, isn't it?
It's quite annoying. and it is something that is something that does need to be stamped out of the game across the world, quite frankly.
But Marrow can do it over there.
Yeah, but you can do it over there because the Kiwis quite like that.
One at the back there.
Probably to the two former Lions. What's it like the first time in the Heineken Cup or the Six Nations when you play against the guys that you toured with for the first time?
Five Nations in my camp. I'm quite old. And there was no Heineken Cup. Four Nations? Five Nations? Five Nations. Good try. Good try. No, Jones, you've still got a couple of years on me. Geez, I'm so senile I can't remember. It's one of those things. It's any old tour. You once you come off the tour, you go back there, and if they're on the other team against you and they're on the floor, then you say to your forwards, give them a kicking because you're too scared to, and if they can get a chance to whack you, they will. I don't think Lawrence, when the tour is over, you know, afterwards, when the match is over, then you can be pals with them, but game's a game, I think.
Yeah, I think you can learn a lot about you. Everyone has preconceived ideas about players. The ones you play with week in, week out, you know a lot more about. The ones you tour with on the Lions, you learn about. And, you know, obviously some impress you more than others, there's no doubt about that. But you, when you've been on a tour to South Africa or New Zealand or whatever for 9 weeks, and you've roomed with people and you've lived with them and you've been through all the highs and lows that a Lions tour throws up, you know, you've seen them, you know, you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses, you know everything about them, you know their DNA, you know everything about them. So it does change the relationship you have with them, but at the end of the day, when you're in your opposition shirts, it's all about winning the game of rugby. And if you can use some of their weaknesses to help you and some of their strengths to negate that, then you will do, of course. But you give each other a little look and go, all right, mate. As long as you come back from a winnings Lions tour, it's a slightly different look. Because you go, all right, mate, I remember you.
So who's the big nasty 12 then that you're all talking about as you ruled out Owen Farrell?
At the moment, I think Robbie Henshaw is the likeliest contender. We go back to, have you beaten the All Blacks? Henshaw had a fantastic, like Conor Murray, wonderful game against them in Chicago. Henshaw had the game of his life. He's not the quickest, but at 12 he doesn't have to be. And I think he'll be against probably Dominic Crotty, whose forte is not speed either. I think he can come off his line, he can smash the All Blacks at the gain line. Defensively, you've got to knock them backwards there. In offence, you've got to just try and get over the gain line to get their back row playing backwards. I think Ben Teo might make a push because he's quicker than Henshaw. He's dynamic, but he's played so little rugby at the moment that you would have to say Henshaw is the one I think Gatland's got marked in as his big beast at 12.
Teo's one season too late, isn't he, Barnsley? One more season playing with England.
Yeah, he's got about 50 minutes of time. You never know. In a Lions tour, weird things happen. But aren't you, Lol? I think Henshaw at the moment, it looks very much the strongest bet.
I'd be interested, Slotty, just as an academic exercise to know how many people in the room think Teo, who 2 years ago was pictured in an Irish shirt, was born in, I think, in Australia, but played rugby league for Samoa, should be on a Lions tour. But I mean, I'm not being horrible about it, but I think there's at least a question mark. But I think Henshaw would be the 12.
Should we do the academic exercise? who in this room would support Teo being in the Lions? There's a lot of non-supporters.
You mentioned that the front five are going to be key to winning the tests. What would be your front five?
Oh, how we do this? With the question, we'll disagree over the loose head. We'll disagree over the hooker. Let's start with the tie, because we'll agree on Tadge Furlong.
The test series is in 44 days' time. So, you know, if the test series is tomorrow, we're naming our type five. But in 44 days' time, you know, when a couple of them have been exposed in New Zealand, yeah, if they, it's about the form in 44 days' time. But Furlong at tight head, probably Jamie George at hooker, or maybe, you know, who knows, Rory Best, Jamie George. Jamie George, I'll go with, and Mako Vunipola would be my front row.
Second row?
And I'd go with Cruz and Itoje.
I wouldn't go Mako. I think Mako's scrummaging is suspect. I think you've got to dominate New Zealand. He's got to come off the bench. The comments we made about Reece Webb, I think, apply exactly the same to Mako. I think Ken Owen took it because I'm starting to think Jamie's also a bench man. Rory, I don't trust throwing. Furlong, Alan Wynne-Jones, George Cruz with maybe, you know, starting to get this feeling. Marrow also coming off the bench.
Quickly now, Barnes. You just said Marrow on the bench.
Yeah, I did say Marrow on the bench because we keep talking about what's your first top, your front five to start, what's your back row. This ain't about 15 players, it's about 23. And all of us, journalists as well, we tend to think, what's the starting team going to be? And it's about getting the balance.
The thing is, Warren has said he wants Marrow on the bench. You're not miles away on that one.
Has he?
He might. I mean, this was a while ago. Marrow's been so good for so long that he might have moved into, you know, his sort of starting 15. But I think Warren's thought that way as well.
Hi. I think we talked earlier on about how Ireland won in Chicago. You know, the fact that Joe Schmidt's tactical planning was critical, as was the fact, in my opinion, that the Irish just got under their skin and they harassed and they harassed and they just didn't let them settle. And, you know, and they ended up scoring five or six tries and beating them by 40, you know, well, they put 40 points on them. I mean, that's remarkable when you think of it in any, you know, in any era. You know, then you then look at Dublin back in, I think it was January, and I was at the match there and I thought, you know, but for a couple of bad refereeing decisions, Ireland could have beaten them again. Surely the secret of beating them is going back and saying, how did we beat them then, we being Ireland, and how can we replicate that with the Lions? And thinking, how do you generate that belief, the passion, and the ability to harass them and just unsettle them in the first 20 minutes? You do that, and I think you have a really good chance of beating them. So I guess the question to the panel, and particularly to the guys who've been in the Lions, is how do you generate that as a coach? You know, in a changing room before a match, that you almost get a fever pitch.
The forwards have got to be, I mean, you have to be, if you're a halfback and, you know, the donkeys will win ball, but remember, as I said, you've got to use it. So as a 9 and 10, you have to be calm. You have to be calm, and you can't have everybody saying, right, let's go and smash them. So there has to be quite a degree of control. And, you know, I think nowadays, a lot of the players know well before in the changing room exactly what they've got to do. And the other thing I would say is playing New Zealand in New Zealand is very different to playing New Zealand in Chicago, though your point is absolutely right. And I think the first 20 again, questions keep coming back to each other. Conor Murray, box kick, chase, pressure, get them on the back foot, smash them about a bit. That's how you do it. It's a simple way. Play clever rugby, you'll probably come off second best.
I mean, I was a firm believer. I mean, obviously there's a very technical side of rugby, which is important, but the game is about emotion, and you've got to find the right emotional touch points in those guys and connect. You have to find some connection between everyone. And if you can find that connection, you know, it doesn't matter who's in the change room next door, quite frankly. It could be the All Blacks, could be the All Whites, could be anyone. You know, you will win. And, you know, if we can find that right emotional connection and the chemistry amongst the coaches and the players, you know, we have what it takes to win. It doesn't matter who's next door.
Thank you. Lawrence, you mentioned earlier Ben Clark as being someone they'd never heard of before and they wanted to keep. Who do you see being holding that position this time round? I mean, I'm thinking someone like Omani or Jack Noel even. What's your thoughts?
Well, hopefully, you know, if the Lions win, they'll have a lot more names that they'll want to keep and remember. And I think that's the key, isn't it? You know, I was being a little bit flagrant with the fact that, of course, they'll know certain players. You know, but there's always someone that emerges from the outside, and you know, it might be Mario Toji, might be someone who ends up being the player of the series. I don't know.
I think we were talking about the front row. Furlong, the Irish guy from, I think he's from Connaught, now he's at Leinster. Mm, yeah. If he has a great tour, he's got it all to do. We're all talking about him as if he's going to be the dominant force, but he has it all to do because he's never played in that environment before. If he asserts himself, they've got a great chance. So I think he could be a real good barometer of the whole tour.
I'm just going to say, I mean, Furlong, they know him though. Furlong was outstanding in Chicago alongside Jack McGrath, the loose head. Maybe there's a template, the Irish front row with a bit of Ken Owens in the middle, I think.
I think Jack Nell could be a great sort of touchstone for them. I mean, he's just absolutely amazing player. I don't know if anyone was at Sandy Pack on Saturday, but it was one of the most times I felt the most privileged to be at a rugby match when Saracens played Exeter on Saturday, and the reaction of the Sandy Park crowd. And Jack Nowell has got this electricity about him, which I hope he brings out on the Lions, because he's an Exeter, he's the son of an Exeter of a Cornish fisherman, and I think actually that's the sort of people the Lions should have, Cornish fishermen.
Okay, we'll take one more question from the back there.
You've got the right weather for it down there anyway.
Hi, quite a lot's been written about taking good tourists on tour. What did that mean historically, and in 2017, what do you think the differences will be, given the skipper himself is more of a protein shake man rather than maybe a Turbo Shandy sort of guy?
Better share a protein shake with something completely different on a few tours ago. yes. All I can say is that from my memory, the Lions tour, including the week that you were together before you went, is about 9 weeks. And in that time, there will be massive highs and lows. You know, throughout, there'll be, you know, all sorts of emotions going through. When you win games, you know, you may end up losing games. There'll be injuries. There'll be people leaving, coming. So, you need people who are going to stick together as human beings and go through those tough times. You know, you can't be homesick. You know, not publicly anyway. You know, you've really got to stick together, and I think that's the key. It's probably one of the reasons why James Haskell was picked as a replacement for Billy, because he's that guy that will bring people together in the right way. So it's just that character, that indefinable quality that we don't always measure in when we statistically review performances. It's about character, isn't it?
But it is the case that Warren will encourage old style touring to a certain extent, won't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He believes that's what helps bond a team.
Yeah. I mean, he was known to, there was two buses going to a safari, and I think the driver got lost in South Africa, and after they'd been on the safari for about 2.5 hours, I think he stopped the buses at the service station and said, right, this one is going back to the bar and this one is going on to the safari. You can take your pick.
Lawrence was noted as a great tourist. and he remained a great tourist and source of news even when all the games were over.
That's not good.
On that point, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done. Thank you very, very, very much
for coming
this evening.